You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Nine West. Winter's finally coming to a close, but you might still fall the very ground beneath your feet with the hottest new trends from Nine West. Nothing beats the confidence the perfect little piece can give you. And their new collections of footwear, apparel, and accessories will let you take on the world in style. Use their Need It Now edit, also known as the 9 edit, to search effortlessly through trends like Western-style boots, loafers, and more. It's time to wear our confidence, ladies. We can't be contained. Because this spring at 9 West, we are infinite. Buy now and get 15% off with code PODCAST24.
Welcome to In Her Shoes. I'm Lindsay Peoples, and I'm editor-in-chief of The Cut. On this show, I get to talk to people that we love and admire, or some that we just find interesting. We'll explore how they found their path and what maybe have gotten in their way, and how they brought others along now that they've arrived. Robin Thede is uncontestedly hilarious, and she knows it.
We are reclaiming this color.
She's the friend that's always going to give you a little reminder about who you are too.
What are you talking about? You're the queen of all media and fashion.
I met Robin many years ago. I believe I was at a conference, and she was always a breath of fresh air, and she still is. I love talking to her, and I'm excited to have her on this episode because she's incredibly grounded and she isn't fazed by the industry and always keeps it real, and that's always hard to find. She had a full day of press, but she made time to stop by our studios, so we got a chance to catch up and get the details on season 4 of A Black Lady Sketch Show, and she gave the absolute best pep talk on taking up space.
We're good.
We're doing like The Daily Show tonight. I'm doing The View tomorrow. Oh, I get to meet Whoopi Goldberg, which I'm really excited about.
Whoopi was the first person who congratulated me when I became an editor-in-chief.
This is what I'm saying. She's amazing. I can't wait.
We're ready. Sorry. I just haven't seen her in a while.
I know. Okay. Not since ABFF, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We're ready.
Let's go. I have my phone on high volume. Is that okay? Joking.
Thank you again for doing this. Yeah. Very excited. So the show is called In Her Shoes. So we always start by asking either what shoes are you wearing today or what are your favorite shoes currently?
The answer is the same. I'm wearing a pair of black suede Schutz heels.
Ooh.
And I'm telling you, they're like midpoint luxury because they're not crazy expensive.
I like this term. I'm gonna use this.
I'm making this up. But they're not crazy expensive, but they're also not super cheap. Mm-hmm. And I, for me, dollars to fashion, they're the best heel to wear when you're walking around a ton.
Yeah.
Because Louboutins, forget it. I cannot walk in them. They're for pictures only.
Yeah.
And so these are truly the greatest heels. I love them so much. I have them in a million colors.
Can I see them?
Yes. It's just an easy.
Ooh, I love these. Yeah. They're very chic for listeners who
very chic. They have a good high arch, but not so much that your foot is like tilting you forward.
Right.
Yeah. Heels are an art. I had to get back into it after the pandemic.
You know? No, you gotta ease into it. I also always like to ask, what would you say that it's like walking in your shoes in life right now?
I think it's busy, but it's exciting. We're on the verge of launching season 4 of A Black Lady Sketch Show. Yay! Yes. Pew, 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 pew. So walking in them is busy. The schedule is packed, but it's good. This is what I dreamed of. So I would say busy, but exciting.
So, I mean, season four, but take me back to before you were even, you know, obviously running an amazing show, starring in it as well. What brought you into sketch comedy? What made you desire to be in it so badly?
Yeah, I think as a kid, like I was a latchkey kid. And so I would come home while my parents were teachers, but they would have to stay later. And I would get home sometimes. And sometimes they were there, sometimes not. But my routine was the same, which was that I would come home and stare at the television. Mm-hmm. And I started doing impressions of Sandra Clark on 227 and the news anchors and like just random people. And it was like so fun for me because it was how I got to kind of create a little community in my head. Like I didn't have a ton of friends. I had a stutter growing up and like me and my sisters were the only black kids in our elementary school. So it was like, you know, we got all the teasing and bullying. So for me, early on, playing different characters was really cool. And then once I saw Whoopi Goldberg's one-woman show and Kim Wayans on In Living Color, I saw that black women could actually play characters and make that a living. And I was like, what?
Right.
That I didn't know that was a job so that we could do. So that made me really excited. And then I kind of pursued it from there. I started a sketch group called Out the Box at Northwestern University, which is still there 20 years later.
That's amazing. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then I got scouted by Second City, which is a famous sketch and improv school and group. And so I went there and now I'm on the advisory board of Second City, which is crazy. It's like everything just
beautiful full circle.
Yes. Yes. It's so dope. So yeah, then went out to LA and I did a bunch of sketch shows. I guest starred on Key and Peele. I was on Chocolate News with David Alan Greer. I did Frank Caliendo, had a sketch show for a while for a season. And so I did all these sketch shows. I was on Afion Crockett's sketch show on Fox, but none of them went past season one, except for Key and Peele, obviously.
Right.
And so by the time I got ready to do a Black Lady sketch show, it had already been marinating for years. Right. I'd been performing live with sketch groups for decades. So, and most of them were black women. So I was like, yo, these are the funniest women to me. And I really want to celebrate that.
Yeah,
so yeah, that's kind of how it started. So then once my late night show got canceled, it was the first time I was like available in years. Right. So I was like, let's do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What would you describe or what do you remember the most about how you felt in those early days of your career and just grinding and not knowing where it was going to go?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, there's so much desperation and thirst like in those years. Like I was creating for YouTube and then Funny or Die and then, you know, the platforms kind of grew. But there was no Instagram. There was definitely not any TikTok. I think there was Vine, maybe, but yeah. I didn't really get into that. So, you know, for me, it was a lot of live performance. And that's how I got really good at improv, right? So, like, when you're in front of audiences, you got to make them laugh or they're going to leave, right?
Were you ever nervous doing that?
No. No, I was always happy because playing characters and, like, writing, improvising is live writing, right? So I loved writing. I loved playing characters. So, no, it's my happy place. I get way more nervous in like regular social situations. Like if somebody's like, I'm going to a networking event. Do you want to go? I'm like, just kill me. Right. I'll make up any excuse not to go.
But you can stand on the stage. I mean, I can't imagine.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. It's weird. I think it's just a place where you don't have to be yourself. I like myself, but like you don't. When I'm myself in like a networking thing where I'm like trying to sound interesting, it's like, I don't know. I find that very awkward. Right. But yeah, on stage, you don't have to worry about that because it's not you.
Yeah.
It's something
I didn't
else.
Think about it like that.
Yeah.
When younger people, you know, come up to you or message you for advice and they're starting out, what do you feel like the big differences are just in the hustle or the approach?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, what do I tell them? Okay, I love this question because I think the difference is that these poor young folks these days, I sound so old, but like the 20-year-olds, right? They think they have to be famous instantly. I was just talking to an artist who I'm developing a show with. And he was like, I just wish I knew you when I first started this, because he's been in the business and really successful for the last 7 years. He's a musician. But he was like, I was 17, you know, or 18. Mm-hmm. And now he's like 21, 22. And he's like, I just wish I knew that sometimes it takes a long time and that's okay. Because he was like, when I had my first hit song, I was so rushed to create another one that I didn't do a good job.
Right.
You know, but they think that you have to be an overnight success. But really, overnight success comes after many years of in the business because you're prepared for the opportunity. Right,
right. Right.
So I think what I tell them, you know, is like, don't be so like pressed. You don't have to be famous tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And famous isn't all it's cracked up to be. Worry about being successful.
Right.
Natasha Rothwell, who I love so much, famous comedian. She was on White Lotus and obviously famously Insecure. She has a new show coming out too, but she's dope. She told me, don't be perfect, be prolific. And I
love that.
I'm like, yes, leave a legacy, leave memories, affect people, but you don't have to be perfect. And I think that's what they need to, figure that out. But I think with TikTok and YouTube, they can get so famous so fast.
Right, right.
And it feels like it's happening for everyone. And I'm like, it's not though.
Yeah, it's not. But also, even if it does, that doesn't mean it's going to last. So
I mean, look at all the Vine stars. What are they doing? That didn't transition well to other platforms.
Yeah. No, that's real.
Yeah, so, you know, just go enjoy what you do and enjoy every day.
Right. So, I mean, since you had, you know, a lot of different jobs, by the time, you know, you became, you know, the first Black woman to ever serve as a head writer of a late night series, did you feel equipped? Did you feel ready? And how did you navigate that?
Yeah, I felt ready because I've been a head writer in daytime and I have been working for a long time at that point. I think I was in the business 12 years at that point.
Right.
So, yeah, I felt ready. I know I'm supposed to say, no, it was overwhelming. I was like, I was good to go.
I'm glad
you'll
you
find
felt that
with
way.
Me. I don't really do humility.
We need to do a class then because I
don't do it. You know why? It's not that I don't feel like I should be sometimes. It's just that I didn't work this hard to downplay my success. And I think that's what I mean. Like literally, you did it when I came in the room. I was like, "You're crushing
not you
it.
Calling
You're
me out
it.
On this podcast."
Yes, I'm calling you out. Do not edit this out. I was like, "Ma'am, you are killing it. I'm so proud of you." And you were like, "No, you're killing it." And I was like, "Girl, two things can be true." But I think we get caught up because you and I both work at such a high level.
Yeah.
And it is so hard to be the only or one of a few. And you've been the only on a bunch of stuff, too. And it's like, it's hard when you can't look behind you to ask the other person for advice because there's no one there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that will fool you into thinking you have to be humble, right? But you don't have to be cocky. But I don't think we ever have to be humble. I just think it's not an emotion that's built for us to recognize how much hard work we've put in. We've gone to school. We paid off loans. We've worked under people. We've mentored under people. We've worked the long hours when no one else would do it. We worked the weekends. We got on the flight and missed our girls' bachelorette party. We did all these things. I did too. Several times. And we've had, but yet still maintaining strong family relationships, marriage, dating, kids. Wait, do you have kids?
No.
No, not yet. You're married, though.
No, I'm divorced.
Ah! Well, congratulations.
Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, then we need to really go out. But this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, I think that there's so many times where we are asked to be all things, but don't give ourselves credit for carrying it off as well as we do.
100%.
Because even the tiniest things feel like failures because we are succeeding at such a high level.
Yeah.
And that's not fair to us or the women that come behind us.
This is turning into an Oprah session.
It is, baby. Live your best life.
I love this.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, honestly, my next question was going to be how you do often talk about that Black women need to be better about celebrating our accomplishments. How did you actually learn to embrace that, though, in practice?
Because
I think
in
theory,
people
poured
into
sounds
me.
Nice.
I know. And it's easier said than done. People poured into me and I got rid of anybody who did not support everything I was doing with a full open heart.
Ooh, cut the rope. I like that.
You have to. You have to cut those ropes because the problem is... There are people who will not go with you to the next stage. And that hurts. That's why I took a deep breath. You saw that cleansing breath? I was like, oh. Because I mourn. You know, I mourn people who couldn't come with me. And I always thought, because I heard that when I would listen to like famous people on interviews, I'd be like, they just got rich and got brand new. But it's not till you get on the other side of it that you're like, oh, I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
There are people that will lament your success because they're regretting their failures. But your friends have to be as strong as you are, if not stronger. And they have to be able to say, your success does in no way reflect on my position in life. Let me be clear. My day ones are still girls I met when I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I've had the same friends for the better part of 30 years. But I just made that sound like I was 47. I'm not. I'm very bad at math. I only write jokes. But anyway, I've had the same friends for a long time. But there are some people who were not close friends, mind you, but they were people in the business I thought were at least worth like keeping in touch with.
Right.
Who just don't wish me well. And I wish them well. A friend jokes with me because she says, because what I'll do is if I know somebody's like talking shit like behind my back, or or just not happy and is like telling other people, or just in general being nasty, I'll recommend them for a job.
Oh, wow.
And I'll tell the person you really
need
to hire
this person. That's very peace, love, and light of you.
Yeah, well, it's, yeah, kind of. But it's also shady because I'm like, if you get more successful, you won't be worried about what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's literally what I do. My friend was like, I've never met somebody who gets people jobs because people don't like them. I know a lot of people don't like me. And I don't mean don't like me, but I know there are people that are like, well, why did she get that? Or why is she doing
that? Yeah, yeah.
So for me, I'm like, well, then you, let's get you up here too.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, yeah. No, I like that.
And it stops. It really does. It really works.
That's not going to work every time. But
it's not going to work every time, but I wish them the best. Well, sometimes they'll sabotage the job. But it's sad to me because it's the reason I called it a Black Lady Sketch Show, not the or not Robin Thede's sketch show. Because for me, it's just a, it's just one of, right? It's just one of many that I hope will come along because there's room enough for any of us. And I always say this, and this is not me being fake humble or not me being derogatory towards myself, but I feel like there are a million Black women who could have created this show. I was just the one lucky enough to be in the right place at the right time who had the experience to back it up, right?
Yeah.
So I'd been a showrunner before. I'd starred and written in my own shows and blah, 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 blah. I'd run other people's shows. And I'd proven myself in the sketch comedy world time and time again. So I think, you know, I was the one that was uniquely suited to do it, but I definitely won't be the last, and I'll make sure of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Support for this show comes from Nine West. Winter's finally coming to a close, but you might still fall the very ground beneath your feet with the hottest new trends from Nine West. Nothing beats the confidence the perfect little piece can give you. And their new collections of footwear, apparel, and accessories will let you take on the world in style. Use their Need It Now edit, also known as the 9 edit, to search effortlessly through trends like Western-style boots, loafers, and more. It's time to wear our confidence, ladies. We can't be contained. Because this spring at 9 West, we are infinite. Buy now and get 15% off with code PODCAST24.
Embracing nature is more than just going for a walk now and then. It's reconnecting with the elements. It's harnessing the power of natural ingredients. It's putting the earth first. For over 50 years, Nature's Sunshine has been sharing the healing power of nature as they work towards a healthier planet. Their manufacturing facility is 100% powered by sunlight, and they divert 95% of waste away from landfills. If you're looking for a sustainably made herbal supplement, you might want to check out Nature's Sunshine and their new Power Line. Power Beets are a superfood performance booster that can help enhance both performance and blood flow. And Power Meal is a satisfying protein-packed superfood shake that comes in sustainable packaging made with nearly 40% post-consumer recycled plastics. Now that's something you can feel good about. This Earth Month, you can enjoy 25% off your first order with code NSP. Just go to naturesunshine.com. That's naturesunshine.com and use code NSP for 25% off your first order.
What does it step-by-step mean in your life to take up space as a Black woman?
Yeah, I think it's about acknowledging those successes, whatever they are. Like, I had a friend who literally, yes, all my friends are successful before you come for me from what I'm about to say. But I had a friend who became the CEO of a humongous company, first Black woman ever, da-da-da-da. I was like, I am so proud of you. We have to go celebrate. She goes, I mean, we don't have to celebrate. It's like not that big of a deal. I said, ma'am, what are you doing?
Right, yeah.
And that to me is like, it means not living in that space. It means embracing it and being like, yes, we are absolutely going to celebrate that because I'm about to be working 90 hours a week for the next 10 years. You know what I mean? Just like taking those moments,
right.
I think, and having balance. I do definitely believe in self-care. You know, I try to, for me, self-care is a nap and a binge on a Saturday. You know what I mean?
Same.
Like, and that is real. And people want to make you feel bad. Like, that's lazy. You're not doing nothing today. And I'm like, this is productive laziness, honey. I am over here recharging.
100%.
I'm living my best life. Like, I love it.
Also, when you're in a ton of meetings and managing things, all of that, you just need to not talk for a little. That's what people don't understand.
I often go on solo vacations.
Ooh, yeah.
I love them. I'm about to go on one in a few weeks. And it's really important. It's really important. People are like, what do you do? Aren't you bored? And I'm like, no.
No.
I don't. They're like, oh, do you meet up with other people from different countries? I'm like, no. I mean, I will meet people across my travels, but like, that's not the intention. The intention is to be quiet and to sit down.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm the same. I went somewhere and I just brought a stack of books. And that's
correct.
All I really correct. Want to do.
Yeah.
Thank you for reminding me because I need to book one.
Amen.
Okay. So when did you start to feel like that you were at a different level in career? Or when did you feel like, okay, I've actually
probably
made
it to
Emmy
a point. Nominations started coming. Mm. That feels like, oh, shit, we're on white people level at this point. Because everything I do is like made for black people, by black people. So it's like, you know, it's like, you know, it's just like, oh, like people are actually watching this and like seeing what it is. And
yeah,
you know what's crazy? We premiered the first episode at Essence Fest 2019.
Oh, I remember this. Yeah.
Yes. And it was crazy. The moment people saw Angela Bassett on screen, they lost their mind like it was Beyonce. I was like, oh. This is going to be big.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know. We were just making a little sketch. I was really excited. Like, but that trailer dropped the same day and it had like 3 million views in 24 hours. And I was just like, holy crap. Like, but it just validated for me that we needed this. You know, we've
right.
never had this ever in the history of sketch comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, for me, it was just like, okay, keep going. Keep doing. So
yeah.
I think that's when I felt like this show really made me feel that way. I love doing my late night show, but I think... you know, I think people don't think they're supposed to watch BET or, you know, don't know where to find it. I don't know why. It's like
I
not
grew up
hard.
Watching BET.
Me too. BET has employed me for many, many years. But I think the rundown just didn't. I mean, our ratings were decent, but it needed to be head and shoulders above like Daily Show level to just look. That's it's an ad supported channel. They need
right.
to make money. I get it. But Connie Orlando and everybody over there is like lifelong friends. They're great.
Yeah.
And so it just set me up. I truly believe that when a door closes, another one opens. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. Not to be cliche about it, but that has always happened for me.
No,
the
yeah.
nightly show got canceled. Within a week, I had shoulder rundown. The rundown got canceled. Within less than a year, sketch show was on the air. Within 2 months, it was sold.
Oh, my God.
Actually, it was already sold, truly, when I was doing the rundown.
Right.
But then I took it to HBO. It was at a different place.
Okay.
I took it to HBO.
Okay.
So we can make it look better.
That's fine. we're fans.
Yeah.
So what is that? What has it been like season after season, like in the weeds? What is the process like?
Oh, my God. It's a lot. Do not recommend show running the show you write and star in.
I mean...
It's a lot. There's a reason why most people don't do it. I mean, Keenan Ivory Wayans and a couple of other people are the only people that have ever done it. It's just a ton because if you think about it, we're shooting like 50 short films a year.
Right.
To make 6 episodes. We were like, why aren't there more episodes? I'm like, do you want me to die? it's so much content jam-packed and we have to basically reinvent the wheel every day.
Right.
So if you think about it, we're on a different location. Sometimes we shoot on sound stages, but a lot of times we're at a different location every single day and you have to reinvent the tone, the style, the characters. Like, it's amazing what our team does day
right.
in and day out. So it's different from traditional scripted. Scripted's a lot more laid back. I think some people dismiss and go, oh, it's only sketch, but it's like the way we're doing it.
No, that seems a lot more difficult to me.
It is. So basically day to day, I'm the first person in, last person out. So I hire all the writers, all my crew. I write in the writer's room with our writers. I prep with my director, my first AD, my crew, we prep my production design team. I approve every set, every prop, every wardrobe, every wig, every everything. Then we go and shoot the show for a couple months. And I'm memorizing 150 pages of dialogue a season and performing a new character every day. I'm in 2 hours of hair and makeup or more if I have to play a man. And then in between takes, people are asking me questions. Luckily, I have a great support team. I mean, everyone from my assistant to my head writers.
Right.
But there's some things that because it's the show I created, they only want to come to me for.
Right.
So it's more of a well-oiled machine now, but it's just constant. Then I go into post. We edit the show for a couple months. Then I do press, then it premieres, and then we rinse and repeat. It's all year long.
I can't imagine it.
Yeah.
I have so many questions about this.
She said, I feel the weight of that. but it's great. I can't do it without the team. Obviously, our Emmy award-winning director, editors, production
yeah.
design team nominated for Emmys. Yeah, they're dope.
I mean, I know you've talked about you have like a really great team behind you, but did you feel like even in selling the show or just starting it that you felt a pressure of being a Black woman, or is this, will people understand this? Will people get this?
No, I didn't really worry about that. I was just excited. And I think because I had done so many sketch shows before, I kind of got to see the things that did and did not work, right?
Right.
But I'm also just a fan of sketch. So it's like I've been watching since Benny Hill, Monty Python. I mean, I wasn't alive, but like, you know, but watching all of that stuff up until now, you know, the most recent stuff. It's such a fun art, and it's so hard, and I love a challenge. So, yeah, I don't think I felt pressure necessarily, especially once it was called A Black Lady Sketch Show, not The.
Right.
Because it was just called The Untitled Black Lady Sketch Show. And then we were like, we got to come up with a name. And I was like, oh, let's just call it A Black Lady Sketch Show, you know?
Yeah.
Because I didn't want people to be surprised when they tuned in. I was like, well, I already told you what it is. But yeah, I think for me, like, the pressure, nah, I've never really felt it. I just believe in it so much. And my cast is so good. And, like, the writers, they're just so good. Like, I mean, look at the talent we've had.
No, it's incredible.
Why would I ever be nervous or concerned, you know?
Yeah. I mean, all of that. And then you said rinse and repeat. How do you, though, come up with all of these characters and just the creativity behind it?
That's easy. My brain is like a cartoon on a loop.
Are you like thinking of ideas in your sleep?
All the time. Yeah. I wake up with ideas. I also have great writers. It's not just me, you know?
Yeah, totally.
No, I love writing and I love creating characters, and I use a lot of, you know, real life inspiration too. Dr. Hadassah is definitely an amalgamation of a bunch of hoteps that I've known throughout the years. Or maybe ones I've dated. You know, it's been great. It's just fun. I mean, imagine an outlet for all the craziness in your life. Yeah. That's what I have.
Yeah.
It's great.
Just give me a snippet of what it is like in the writer's room. Like, how do things develop?
Fun.
Like, is it like you're like, I went on a date and da-da-da-da.
No, we don't have that kind of time. I work my writers to death for 13 weeks, and they will attest to this, but they're always like, oh my God, we came out so much better than we came in. Like, it's a boot camp. Mm. And I warn them of that when I'm interviewing. I'm like, do you like to work late nights? No, shouldn't work here. Because it's only 13 weeks. And really, it's only about 10 weeks of writing.
Right.
The last 13 weeks are like punching jokes and doing table reads and casting and that kind of stuff. So it's just an intense, like, 2.5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I'm like, you can do anything for 10 weeks,
you know,
I'm not working them till 2 a.m. every night. It's only on nights when we're like punching through scripts, but usually they come in at like 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been virtual the past couple seasons. We haven't had an in-person writer's room since season 2.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But moving forward, HBO willing that we have more seasons, we'll be in person. But so basically we come in 9:30 or so, we start pitching. So the writers know they need to come in with a fully developed pitch.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not always fully developed. Even my own, I'm like, all right, I have an idea. It's like this woman who did this thing, but I don't have an ending. And then we'll just workshop it. But you have to come in and pitch, like, you know, okay, Patti LaBelle shows up every time you break up with a man and she won't leave until you sing On My Own with her. And it's like, great. Love it, Ashley Nicole Black, who wrote that sketch. Go write it.
Right.
You know? But then some need a little more work and a little more workshopping and brainstorming.
Right.
I think the thing that we try to do is like, why is this sketch on a Black lady sketch show?
Mm.
That way it won't feel like somebody will be like, oh, they stole our sketch. Because there's been a billion sketches in the history of sketch. So we try to say, well, why this show and why now? You know, so that's it. They just come in and pitch, and then we send them out to work on their sketches. And then the next day, they come in and pitch again.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get revisions on their one from the day before. And then around the third or fourth day, we'll have an internal table read and we'll read them all out loud and see what's actually clicking. But they do like a couple of drafts before that. And then we read them out loud and then we kill 80% of them and then rinse and repeat.
I mean, it sounds fun, but I know it's also challenging at the same time.
It's fun, but it's a ton of work.
Yeah, we
write hundreds of sketches to get to the 30 or 40 that air.
Yeah.
Plus the interstitials, which makes it over 50. Yeah. It's crazy.
Man, yeah. Okay, so season 4 airs April 14th.
Yes.
What can we expect?
You can expect. So much fun. So we have 3 new cast members, which I am thrilled about. Chick Angel on IG, her name is Angel Lakita Moore. Tamara Jade, who is in the top 10 on The Voice, and Demaya Gurley, who is a TikTok star. She's 24 years old and truly so funny.
Love.
Yeah, we love it. So I'm really excited about them. We have 30 guest stars this season or more. I can't even remember. Tracee Ellis Ross, Coleman Domingo, Kyla Pratt, Kel Mitchell, Jay Ellis, Tank.
I'm so excited.
Kim Whitley, Jack A. Harry. I mean, they're so... Gina Torres, there's so many. And so I'm really excited about the crop of guest stars. We've been trying to get Tracy forever.
No, she's going to be great.
Coleman Domingo, give him an Emmy. Tracy Ellis Ross, give her an Emmy. Yvette Nicole Brown, Emmy nominee for a Black Lady Sketch Show, is coming back for Courtroom Kiki. Black Lady Courtroom. Blah, blah. I'm so excited. Chris is back. Hadassah is back. Everybody's back. The Coral Reefs are back.
Yeah.
So I'm just really excited about everybody's faves, but then you get to meet all these new characters, not only from the OG cast, but also from our new ladies as well.
Okay, hard question though. Do you have a favorite recurring character?
Yeah, I mean, so the audience would tell me that my favorite character is Dr. Hadassah Olayinka-Ali Young and pre-PhD. But I actually like playing these like quieter characters. This is not a recurring one, but there's a new podcaster character that I play this year.
Okay.
Who's just very serene and very quiet.
Wow, okay.
And much different than my cackling loud voice. which is really fun because I get to play kind of like a smaller, but the person opposite me is very, very big. So that's fun. But yeah, Hadassah is always fun. There's like no research or anything that has to go along with her because I can just show up. We shoot the sketches in like 2 hours. Like the Black Table Talk episode with Coleman Domingo is just, I mean, at one point we did the script and then we just ripped it up and did whatever we wanted. And right. That's most of what you're going to see. It's just really fun. Our guest stars are so lovely. So it's fun to play with them. But yeah, Chris is fun. Chris is back. Who's, you know, kind of the fuckboy I play. He's not really a fuckboy, but he's just kind of like not the best. He's back. He's got a new job. which you've never seen him work.
So I was going to say, wait, when?
Yeah, he does. And he's not really working here either, but you'll see. It's very funny. Yeah. I don't know. The Coral Reefs gang is really funny. My character, Shanidra, just watching Gab go absolutely nuts in those sketches. Yeah, it's just really fun. I think the great thing about season 4 is it's really broad, really physical, very approachable from any entry point, even if you've never seen the show. That's you can good. Definitely okay. start at season 4 and not be confused. It just helps you if you've seen the other sketches, but I think they all live on their own.
You know, now that season 4 is coming out, are you also already thinking about season 5, season 6? Or are you just in the moment?
No, I'm always, because I always go, oh man, we should do a sketch about blah, blah, blah. And then I make it, you know, I have my notes app where I'm like writing all my like ideas. So no, I just think because my brain is always constantly thinking of sketches, that's what I get excited about. Or, you know, oh, what guest stars are we going to be able to get or whatever. Yeah, it's just fun. It's just a part of my life in such a big way. Yeah. But oh, I'm so excited for everybody to see the new cast.
I'm very excited. All these guest stars sound amazing.
Oh, I know. I even named them all. I skipped Omarion. There's other ones.
Omarion?
Yeah. Yeah. Reprising his role as a very ridiculous version of himself.
I love this. Okay, so you're also developing a new comedy.
I am.
HBO, Disengagement. Tell
Can
me about
this. Can you believe it? They bought 2 shows for me and put me in a whole overall deal?
I didn't know about this show until I started Googling.
Well, you wouldn't. It's new. No one knows anything. It's very early, but it is about a Black Midwest family whose dysfunction has dysfunction because family is the ultimate pyramid scheme.
Yes.
I'm very excited to see a very not Cosby version of a Black family. With adult children and kind of, you know, living in the Midwest, I think is dope because I'm from the Midwest. This does not take place in my hometown or state, but I think that there is like a vibe in Chicago, St. Louis. Like we just don't really get to see that. Mm-hmm. And we definitely don't get to see kind of how adult children interact with their parents from Black people. So I really love this kind of energy of like Arrested Development, Schitt's Creek, but like very Black. So it'll be interesting. I really love developing with HBO. They are very creator forward and very much like whatever story you want to tell, how do we tell the best version of that? And how do we help you do that? They're not like, can you do it for this no amount of money and also put in people we don't want. Like, they're not like that at all. They approach making television as an art form. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I'm excited about the show.
Me too.
Sounds fun.
I know. I got to hurry up. I got to hurry up and get it out.
Yeah, you do actually. Okay. So you were also on Kirk Franklin's Good Words.
I was.
Which I'm jealous. That sounds.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was one of, besides this one, it was one of the best conversations I've ever had. But you asked me the best question anybody's asked me in a very long time. Which was that when young people, I thought you were going to say when young people come up to you, what advice do you give them? But you said, what is the difference? And I think that's real. Like that's so deep because there is a difference.
I always feel the difference, though, because I feel like, no, I similarly get a lot of young people come up to me and I'm like, I think the disposition is a bit different.
And yes. And do they say to you, you go, what do you want to do? And they go, I want to do what you do. And yeah. It's like, you have no idea what it took to get here.
Right. Yeah. But also I think I can just sense how you were saying a desperation. Like, I felt like I was always that way, where I can just sense more so that people are obsessed with being famous. And so.
Yeah, and that's not it. That's
I think also it. The motives are different.
The motives are different. Yeah. Getting money, being famous, all that's great. The two always don't go hand in hand.
Yeah.
You can also be very rich and no one knows your face.
Yeah, which is honestly the bag.
Honestly?
That's the bag.
Yeah. That's why I wear a beard and stuff. People don't even recognize me all the time.
The people who are low key successful, honestly, a bag.
Honestly. All right. So you were saying about Kirk Franklin.
Yes. Kirk Franklin, good words. You talked about the importance of legacy. What are your thoughts on legacy? Where are you at?
You know what? I think Black Lady Sketch Show is its own legacy. I think it's part of my legacy. But legacy is so important because I was saying, like, to him, and I'll elaborate on it here. I think the really important thing is, because of that desperation when you're young, and it's, I get the desperation. It makes sense. You're like, I need to make it and I can't pay my bills, so I'm desperate, right? But nobody wants to hire you when you're desperate. It wasn't until I relaxed into my gifts that I was able to embrace myself as a writer, as a producer, as a showrunner. And when I started doing that, it became about, well, how can I help all these people along the way? How can I hire the people who no one else will hire? Mm-hmm. How can I take the people who are underestimated everywhere else because usually the color of their skin? How do I take them and show them I'm not going to underestimate them and they need to do their best work possible here? Like, my crew always says this in interviews. They're like, Robin expects excellence because she is excellent. And I say thank you, but also, like, I'm excellent because they're excellent. That's how I would respond to that. So that is legacy to me. Legacy is leaving behind people who became better because of your involvement in their life. Not because you gave them money or bought them a house, but because you gave them the opportunity to become everything that they were meant to be. And more, right? Mm-hmm. Even when they leave a Black Lady Sketch Show, we always say it's like alumni, like people in front of and behind the camera. It's like, oh, I'm an alum of this season, or I'm an alum.
That's sweet.
Which is really cute. And so I think that's what legacy is about. Legacy is creating what you leave behind for everyone else through the lens of having them having interacted with you, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's not about what did I accomplish? What accolades did I get? It's about what did I leave behind and who benefited from that through the work that I did.
Yeah.
So it's not erasing me from my own equation. It's just saying that when I became in service of others versus just myself, everything opened up and everything changed.
I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. This is such a fun conversation.
Yay!
It's always fun chatting with you, though.
I know. Listen, let me know where the vacation is. I know you said you want to go solo, but, you know, I will show up somewhere for a date.
I will let you know because I'm thinking about a couple places.
Perfect. Well, I'm super proud of you. Congrats on everything.
Thank you, sweetie. I appreciate it.
The Cut is lucky to have you.
Thank you.
Pay her whatever she deserves.
Oh, my God.
Pay her. Pay her producer. Pay the producer. Pay Lindsay. Listen, whatever it is, it's not enough.
In Her Shoes is hosted by me, Lindsay Peoples. Our producer and editor for this episode is Taka Zen. Our engineer is Brandon McFarlane, and our executive producer is Hannah Rosen. The Cut is made possible by the excellent team at New York Magazine. Subscribe today at thecut.com/subscribe. I'm Lindsay Peoples, and thank you so much for listening.
Support for this show comes from Nine West. Winter's finally coming to a close, but you might still fall the very ground beneath your feet with the hottest new trends from Nine West. Nothing beats the confidence the perfect little piece can give you. And their new collections of footwear, apparel, and accessories will let you take on the world in style. Use their Need It Now edit, also known as the Nine Edit, to search effortlessly through trends like Western-style boots, loafers, and more. It's time to wear our confidence, ladies. We can't be contained. Because this spring at Nine West, we are infinite. Buy now and get 15% off with code PODCAST24.
Celebrate Earth Month this April by harnessing the power of Mother Nature with Nature's Sunshine's new power line.
from Power Greens with over 200 plant-based nutrients to support gut health and foundational nutrition, to Power Beets that can improve performance and blood flow. Not to mention Power Meal, which delivers plant-based calories from whole foods to help keep you both energized and feeling satisfied throughout the day. This Earth Month, you can enjoy 25% off your first order with code NSP. Just go to naturesunshine.com. That's naturesunshine.com and use code NSP for 25% off your first order.